Men, please be seated. It's good to see all of you here this day. And as we come to the Word of God, I invite you once again to turn with me in your copy of the Scriptures to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, as we continue our series on the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, at verse 22, and I'll read to 23a in your hearing. Galatians chapter 5, at verse 22, here as Paul in this context is contrasting the works of the flesh with those traits that the Holy Spirit produces in God's true children, he writes the following and says, Galatians 5, at verse 22, he says, but, there's the contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And for today, our next feature at hand, he says in 23a of this chapter, that it is gentleness. Brethren, let's once again pray and ask the Lord's blessings on our time. Let's pray together. Our great and glorious God, we are so thankful that you have granted us another Lord's Day to be in your presence, whereby we might worship you in the beauty of holiness. We're so thankful, O God, that you put it in our hearts to want to do this. O God, great is your salvation. Great are your mercies. And so we thank you, O God, that for many of us in this place, you have, as the hymn writer said, tuned our hearts to sing your praise. And we have sung your praise this day. For indeed, O God, you are worthy of all of our praise. We bless your name. And God, as we come this morning to your word, we are asking, O God, for fresh forgiveness of sin, sin of omission, sin of commission, that we might be able to receive your word into good and honest hearts. We're asking, O God, that you would enliven our communion with you even as we sit under the word, that we might grow thereby, that we might be helped and challenged and more conformed into that blessed moral image of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Father, we're looking to you this day to do great things in our midst, to help us, O God, to be all that you would have us to be, according to your word, and by thy free and sovereign grace. Come then, we pray, O great God, and work in us, your people, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. We pray and ask all of these things in and through that wonderful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, I begin this morning by asking all of you here this day who name the name of the Lord, are you committed in your life to live according to the world's ethics or according to the ethics, or we could say the moral principles of the Word of God? The world or the Word, which is it for you, my dear brothers and sisters here this day? Now, of course, I know that if you are a born-again Christian in this place, then you wholeheartedly say that you want to live according to the ethics of the Word of God, right? You say that because you are a saved child of God, the ways, the opinions, values, and dispositions of the world no longer govern your life. And this is because you have now been redeemed. It's because now the Holy Spirit lives in you And he helps you to be all that God would have you to be. Praise be to his name. Well, because I know that this, in fact, is true for many of you in this place, I'm happy to speak to you this morning on our stated subject of Christian gentleness. I'm delighted to preach to you about this great gospel disposition that the Word of God says is to mark out all of us as God's people, or else we are living in great contradiction to it. Now, personally, for myself, I'm convinced that this topic of gentleness, or as it could be rightly translated, meekness, as it is in the King James Version of the Bible, is absolutely crucial for you and I to model in our lives as the people of God. It's absolutely vital for us to model this in our lives. And so why do I say this? Well, I do so because, as you know, dear ones, I'm sure, you and I are living in a world which is full of people who are rough, rugged, and rude, and are full of ungodly attitudes, which, by the way, are completely antithetical to the Word of God. Yes, dear ones, you and I live at a time when impatience and brashness are really quite popular and praised, so that people even drive around with a bumper sticker on their car which says, "Don't get mad, get even." Well, in addition to these things, it's also true that this gospel disposition of gentleness, again, our focus for today, is often mocked. It's often ridiculed by many in the world. Such a disposition as this is often looked on by non-Christians as someone being spineless or wimpy. Oh, but beloved ones, here this day, I say to you that according to the Bible, nothing could be further from the truth. This is completely false. Consequently, while this matter of gentleness coming forth from us towards others is not usually highly regarded by most, I say nonetheless that you and I, as Christians, are to walk in it all of our days with the help and grace of God. I say, beloved, that if in fact we're going to live under Jesus' lordship with his word over us, then this vital, this crucial gospel trait must regularly be coming forth from us. For surely the great American theologian named Jonathan Edwards was right when he said that gentleness is, quote, the Christian spirit. And this is because all who are truly godly and are real disciples of Christ have a gentle spirit in them. Well, because I know that if in fact you in this place are a true disciple of Christ here this day, that you want this to be true of you, I say again, church, I'm thrilled to preach on this topic. I'm excited. And this is because I know that having this trait coming forth from your life will not only be an enormous benefit and blessing for yourself, but it will also be this for those who know you. And so, as we come then for today to take up our subject at hand, I ask you please to notice with me, firstly for today, the definition of Christian gentleness. The definition of Christian gentleness. Now, it's vital. Again, it's crucial that you and I get this matter straight. And I say this because, as I said a moment ago, there are many misconceptions floating around in our day with reference to this whole matter of gentleness, or again, as I said, meekness, so that for some, gentleness equals being a pushover or something like this. And meekness, as you know, you've heard it before, equates in many people's minds of weakness or of an individual being cowardly etc. But really, church, having said this, as I said a moment ago, this is absolutely not the case, biblically speaking. It's not so according to Scripture, and this is because, as we will see in a little bit, such powerful people as Paul, Moses, and our Lord Jesus Christ all displayed this tremendous grace in their lives. But having said this, how then can I define our topic at hand for today? Well, let me do this by saying that Christian gentleness is, and you see it in your bulletins this morning, quote, an action of the redeemed who, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, actively seek to avoid all, underscore it, all dispositions of rudeness, rage, revenge, roughness, bossiness, and callousness with a my way or the highway kind of attitude, but rather they seek to have, positively, a mildness about them, a friendliness, a yieldingness, and a sweetness which is full of courteousness and compassion, so that they are not overbearing, no, but rather a joy to be around, and this with a view to the good of others, and ultimately, and no doubt most importantly, the glory of God. Well, listen then to author Christopher Wright as he speaks about this matter some more in his very helpful book entitled Cultivating the Fruit of the Spirit. Wright says in his book that, quote, gentleness shows itself when we've learned that the way to respond to conflicts, quarrels, rejections, unfairness, or a harsh word spoken against us is not with bluster or self-defense, no, and it's not with harsh and aggressive words, no, but rather, he says, it's with softness. Think about the text, a soft answer turns away wrath. It's with softness, he says, and this is we control our tongues and our tempers. Wright says that, quote, gentleness does not necessarily mean just saying nothing and soaking it all up, the context being when we're under a provocation or someone is speaking harshly to us, no, but rather, he says, a gentle response can still be strong, firm, and clear. However, it's always without vicious rage, and that's the key of the matter. So here then, brethren, with my definition, and I think what Mr. Wright has said, we have the heart, we have the core, we have the essence of the matter at hand. This is the sum of our subject for today. And as a side note here, you should note that in Paul's day, Greeks used our Greek word here for gentleness in order to describe the reining in of a stallion. The reining in of a stallion. Picture a mighty wild horse that has been trained to do exactly what the instructor had taught it to do. So that there's the horse and it's becoming obedient to the bit and bridle. Now submitting to authority. The stallion is a huge, it's a powerful animal. However, that power has now been restrained and tempered with what? Well, with a gentle spirit, having a combination both of strength and restraint. Strength and restraint. Well, dear ones here this morning, in a similar way, this then is what is so of true Christians who have been saved and taught by the grace of God. Consequently, I think that in short form, we can define our word gentleness in our passage for today, not as weakness, no, as I said, but rather as controlled strength. In short form, we can define it as controlled strength. We can define it as power harnessed or gentle strength, kind of like someone being a gentle giant. For indeed, such a person who is huge and powerful like a giant can have great strength available to crush and defeat others easily. But nonetheless, they restrain. They hold back that strength. They're gentle in their might. And this is what our word gentleness in view for today is all about. It's about being a person who, by the working of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, has a sweet reasonableness about them. And it's about being different than what we are by nature, which unfortunately at times could be rough, rugged, and raw, just as an unbroken horse lacking tenderness and grace, etc. Now, having said all of these things, it seems clear to me, it seems quite evident, that contextually speaking, some of the believers in the various Galatian churches had missed this point altogether, right? It seems that perhaps some of them had adopted the world's unholy temperaments. Thus, this is why, for example, in verse 20 of this chapter, Paul speaks about the works of the flesh, which are, look at some of the things in the list, hatred, contentions, dissensions, and outburst of wrath, etc. And so you say, Pastor, what's the point? Well, dear ones here this day, the point is all of these things equal not being a gentle person. That's the point. All of them equal acting as the world acts, which as the people of God, you and I must never do. And so, having seen firstly then for today, a definition of Christian gentleness. Come with me now secondly to note its demonstration. Its demonstration. Now here, I want to speak about this matter under three subpoints, and again, you see them there in your bulletins. Three subpoints, and the first is gentleness as seen in Scripture. The second is gentleness as seen in servant Moses. And the third is gentleness as seen in our loving Savior, even Jesus. And so firstly, let's notice this matter together for today as seen in Scripture. Now, it's really striking, definitely striking, quite amazing to see how this matter of gentleness is spoken of all throughout the Word of God for you and I to walk in as His people. Again, I was studying this afresh prior to this message, and it was just amazing how this topic is in so many places for you and I as believers to walk in all of our days. This is the case. So that, for example, if you're taking notes, we're told firstly in Ephesians 4, verse 1 and following, that Paul says there, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And then in describing how this is to take place in our lives, Paul says that we do it, quote, with all lowliness and what? Well, he says, with all lowliness and gentleness. Lowliness and gentleness. He goes on, he says, with long suffering, bearing with one another, how? In agape, in love. To what end? To the end that we endeavor regularly to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, as the prisoner of the Lord, walk in gentleness. Next, Philippians 4 and verse 5. We're getting there in our Scripture reading soon. Philippians 4 and verse 5. I preached on it a few months ago. There Paul commands all of us saying that we are to, quote, let our what? Our gentleness be known to how many? Just those whom we like? No. He says, let your gentleness be known, quote, to all men. Thirdly, in this regard, in Colossians 3 and verse 12. Paul writes there saying, therefore, as the elect of God, that is to say, you and I who are believers in this place, we who have been chosen for salvation from before the foundation of the world, Paul says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the two words describing God's elect, put on, wear, adorn yourselves with these things. What are they, Paul? He tells us, mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, or gentleness and long-suffering. And then in describing what all of this is to look like in the church, he says that it's by you and I as the elect of God, quote, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Paul says, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ has forgiven us, so also you must, no choice here, you must do. Fourth, in Titus chapter 3, verse 1 and following, Paul says there to Titus to remind his people to be, quote, subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one. He says, and to be peaceable and what? Well, he says, and gentle. How do we do it, Paul? The participle tells us, showing all humility to how many? Again, to all men. And then fifthly and finally, in this regard, in speaking in opposition to the bad, the negative, the ugly attitudes of the world, like envy and a self-seeking spirit, which James actually says are demonic. He writes now, positively speaking, in James 3 and verse 17, but here's the antithesis, the wisdom, we might say, the smarts which are from above, God's divine wisdom for us to walk in, is first pure, then peaceable, then what? Well, he says, then gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, having just spoken broadly to you here this day from Scripture about this matter of you and I having a gentle spirit as the people of God, you should note more specifically now, dear ones, that the Bible says that this trait of gentleness is also to be a distinguishing mark of God's ministers. God's ministers. Now, having said this, of course, none of this means that ministers of the gospel are not to be bold as lions. Doesn't mean that at all. Doesn't mean that they're not to call out sin, even from the pulpit. It doesn't mean that at all. And it doesn't mean that they're not to preach the gospel with great passion. No, for they're to do all those things. However, it does mean that in doing all those things, they are to do all of them with temperance. It means that they are to do them not from a disposition of arrogance or roughness, no, but rather with broken hearts and with tears in their eyes. Well, again, the Bible, the Word of God, speaks about this matter of gentleness with reference to ministers of the gospel. So that, for example, again, if you're taking notes, in speaking rhetorically to the Corinthian church, who gave Paul a lot of trouble, and therefore you might think that he would be snarky with them, but he wasn't. Thus he could say to them in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 21, what do you want? He's asking them rhetorically, what do you want, I ask you? Shall I come to you with a rod? Or in love and in a spirit of what? Gentleness. What do you want, Paul says. I lay it before you. Choose. What would you like? Paul says, I can do either. Choose, therefore, gentleness. Next, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. In highlighting our Lord's own gentleness, which I'll speak of in a few moments, Paul says there to the church, now I, Paul, myself, just in case you were wondering who was speaking. I love Paul when he piles up all of these words. Now I, Paul, myself, you sense the authority. This is nobody else but me. Get it? Listen to it, therefore. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you. How, Paul? How? Tell us the manner in which you are pleading with the folks. Again, the prepositional phrase answering the question, quote, by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. That's how I'm doing it. I'm beseeching you. I'm urging certain things upon you. How? What's the manner? Here it is. By the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. And then in speaking about his own ministry to the Thessalonians, Paul could describe it very warmly in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 and following, by saying, but we, when you see but we in a passage, there's an antithetical statement being made. But we, that is to say, in contrast to those in the world, but we emphatically, not like those people, but we, in opposition to them, were, quote, gentle among you. That's what Paul says. Here's how he describes his ministry there in Thessalonica. We were actually gentle among you. How, Paul? Well, he tells us when he says next, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Isn't that a beautiful portrait? Here's how we were gentle among you, just so that there's no wondering about it. Like a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you, Paul says, not only the gospel of God's grace, but also our own lives. And why? Well, Paul says, because you had become dear to us. Fourth, in this regard, in describing ministers in general, Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 and following, that a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be what? Well, he says, be gentle to all. And then finally, in this regard, right back here in the book of Galatians, in Galatians 6 and verse 1, look at the words. Here in speaking about leaders and mature brethren in the church, Paul says, Galatians 6 verse 1, note it with me there in your Bibles. He says, brethren, we considered it this morning in the Bible study hour, if a man, whoever they might be, person, anthropos, a man, a woman in the church, is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. How? Well, he doesn't say in a spirit of roughness. He doesn't say in a spirit of holier than thou, am I, in reference to you, no. He doesn't say in a spirit of rudeness, no. But rather he says, you who are spiritual, restore the one who has sinned, look at the language, in a spirit of what? Gentleness. Gentleness. Considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. That is to say, be tempted to sin in like manner. Well, here then, beloved ones, this morning, is just a broad sampling from Scripture with reference to this whole matter of you and I being gentle, being friendly, being sweet and reasonable individuals. Not being overbearing, but rather a joy to be around as God's people. This is the case, but not only do we see this demonstration being put forth rather in Scripture, but we also see it next being put forth in two very strong and very notable figures in the Bible, in addition to the Apostle Paul, and they are God's servant Moses and our wonderful Savior, Jesus. Now, firstly, concerning Moses himself, God's servant, it's clear that while his statement, as found in Exodus chapter 3, would definitely, at least in my opinion, mark him out as someone who was very meek when he said there to God, for example, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of God out of Egypt? You see how meek he was, how gentle he was. Who am I that I should do this? I think that's clear with reference to him at this point in his life. However, brethren, it seems clear nonetheless that still in his early years, if you think of Moses' life, he was still a man who had some anger issues. Thus, perhaps he would have done well to take some anger management classes. Ha, ha, ha. But having said this, nonetheless, as Moses matured, he became gentler in his life. He became more and more gentle with the help and grace of God. Yes, Moses became a man who, as you read his later life, acknowledged his fault quite readily. And he did not seek to vindicate himself, no. And when God's judgment fell on his adversaries, he didn't gloat over them, no. But rather, he interceded for them. So again, there was some brashness, some roughness, some rudeness. He lacked a gentle disposition at various times in his life. However, as he matured in the grace of God, these things seem to change. Well, because all of these things are so concerning him. This is why, no doubt, the inspired passage tells us, you know the text, Numbers chapter 12, that the man Moses was very humble. He was very meek. He was very gentle. And the text says, and this more than all men who are on the face of the earth. Well, moving beyond Moses then, we have secondly the great example of our lovely Lord Jesus Christ in this regard as a very clear example of someone who was full of gentleness. Now, of course, as I said earlier, our Lord Jesus Christ was in no way, shape, or form spineless or wimpy. No. Now, this was not the case at all. Rather, as you know, I'm sure, he was full of great strength, both in his humanity and in his deity as God. This is the case, and so having said this, we see that our Lord was, without a doubt, full of gentleness. Thus, we might say that he displayed a gentle manliness. Ah, but having said this, you ask, Pastor, where do we see such a disposition as this coming forth in our Lord in the Bible? Well, there are many examples of this, no doubt. So that first, we see it throughout his earthly ministry. For time and again, our Lord gently dealt with all of the sick and the needy who were brought to him. He's feeding the multitudes because he's a gentle Savior, not leaving them to starve. He's healing the sick of all of their diseases. Further in this regard, we see this in connection to his associating with the outcast of society, right? The outcast, those whom the world rejected very harshly. Jesus says, whether you're a tax collector or a harlot, I will deal tenderly with you. Well, one classic example of this, of course, is found in John chapter 8, is it not? It is, for there we see Jesus showing himself to be very tender towards the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, as the text says. Who, although the religious people of the day wanted to deal with her according to strict justice, why? Because typically religious people lack gentleness. Jesus, nonetheless, without excusing her sin, was tender to the woman caught in adultery. Not condemning her, no, but rather calling her to go and sin no more. Well, not only do we see our Lord's gentleness in all these things, but we also see it after he was arrested in the garden on false charges, right? And I say this because there in Matthew chapter 26, our Lord says that he could have called more than 12 legions of angels to rescue him from that situation and to deal, no doubt, with those troublemakers before him. And yet he didn't do this. No, in his gentleness, in his tenderness, he restrained himself. Further, from the garden all the way to the cross, when Jesus was being handed over to the Roman soldiers, knowing the traitor Judas had just betrayed him, in his gentleness nonetheless, our Lord Jesus Christ, after this event, calls Judas friend in Matthew chapter 26. He could have said something else, as it were, but he says friend. Well, perhaps then, beyond all of these things. The Lord Jesus Christ displayed the greatest gentleness that he ever displayed when he was impaled on the cross as our sin-bearing substitute. For there he didn't say to those who were before him, "A Father, judge them harshly for their sins against me." No. But rather, he said, "Father, forgive them." In his gentle disposition, he said, "Father, pardon them. Why? For they do not know what they do." And so, truly, brethren, in all these things, and no doubt perhaps you're thinking of more ways, we see that our Savior is the ultimate and the best example of what it means to be a gentle individual. In fact, beloved, for all of us who know Jesus Christ in truth, savingly, we know him to be in our own lives a very tender and gentle Savior with us, right? We don't just have to think about the Word of God and those various examples, but if you're a true child of God here this day, then you know Jesus to be a very gentle and tender Savior. If you're saved here this day, then you know him to be the one who, when you go astray from him, in whatever way, shape, or form, that he leaves the 99 and he goes after you. Praise be to his name. Yes, I say, brethren, praise be to God. That according to Matthew chapter 12, we're told there that a bruised reed Jesus will not break, and a smothering flack he will not quench. And praise be to God that although we sin against him, sometimes on a daily basis, he nonetheless does not deal with you and I with an iron fist, no. But rather, he deals with us in love. He deals with us in grace. He deals with us time and again in great tenderness and with chastening compassion. Well, because all of these things are so about him, this is one of the reasons why you and I praise him so much, right? Here, dear ones, is why we love him so. For he is kind. He is tender. He is full of long-suffering and all of the traits in our text before us. And in addition to them, he is our gentle Lord. He is our tender Savior. Now, of course, all of this makes perfect sense about Christ. Thus, this is why, for example, in the only passage in the Word of God which speaks about Jesus' heart, his cardia, Jesus says of himself in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and following, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus says, "Come and take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Why? Well, he tells us when he says, "For I am," what? "Gentle." I'm gentle. I am gentle. That is, I am full of courteousness and compassion. And he says, "Lowly in heart." The result, you will find rest for your souls. Some of you have been beaten down, he says. You've had the harshness of the world and the false teachers and the legalism of Judaism, etc. Jesus says, "I'm not like any of those things. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle. I am lowly in heart." And when you come to me, you will find rest. You will find arene. You will find shalom for your soul. And so in view of this gracious invitation of Jesus to heavy laden sinners to come to him for spiritual rest, I must pause for a moment to speak to any non-Christian here this day. You who are not saved, you who are not born again, and say to you, my dear friend, that this is why you must come to know Jesus Christ now. You see, right now, our Lord is a very compassionate and gentle Savior to all who come to him by faith for life and salvation. That's how he is now. 100%. This is how he is. Ah, but having said this, if you wait till he returns, you don't know when that will be. This won't be the case at all. No. For at that time, Jesus will have to deal with you in strict justice. That's why when you see the word of God in many places, it says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. It says, now is the acceptable time. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, next year, no. But now, why? Because now Jesus is a gracious Savior. Now he's gentle, now he's tender, now he receives all sinners who come to him. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your transgressions before God, your lies, your lust, your pornography, your adultery, your homosexuality, your drunkenness, your anger. It doesn't matter. Jesus has come to me. In my gentleness, I will forgive you. In my tenderness, I will make you a brand new person. And so what then is my word for you here this day, my dear non-Christian friend, man, woman, boy, or girl? Well, it is to turn from your sins and to trust in Jesus to be your Savior before it's too late. It's to go to Christ now by faith, asking him to forgive you and to wash you thoroughly from all of your sins. And all of this based on his sacrifice on the cross for people like you. Well, having seen then so far for today the definition and the demonstration of gentleness from the Bible, come with me now thirdly to note its deployment. Its deployment. Or how it is that you and I can develop this gospel grace in our lives as God's people. Now, if in fact you and I are going to be individuals who are committed to living according to, again, the ethics, the moral principles of the Word of God, and not the ethics or the moral principles of the world, then here, church, is where I must make things very practical for you. Here is where the rubber must hit the road. And so how then can we cultivate this fruit, which the Holy Spirit does in fact produce in God's true children? Well, by way of application, let me say three things. Three things. And the first is, of course, you and I do this by remembering Jesus. By remembering Jesus. Now, here, dear ones, is where I must begin, of course. And this is because, as I said earlier, our Lord Jesus Christ is our great example in all things. We look to him. He is. Thus, since Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, that you and I are to have Jesus' mindset in us. Let his mindset be in you. Let me ask you then, dear ones, do you seek to have in yourself the heart of gentleness that Jesus had towards others or not? Application number one, make it practical. It's deployment. You like my alliteration, I trust. It's deployment. Pastor, it's there in the Bible. It's there in many texts. It's there in Paul. It's there in Moses. It's there in Jesus. How can we develop it in our lives? I tend to be rough. I tend to be raw. I tend to be rugged. I lack gentleness at times. Maybe you can say amen to that. I don't want to be like that. The Holy Ghost doesn't want me to be like that. And so, where do I begin? Well, I begin by remembering Jesus. And I ask myself the question, do I have his heart of gentleness that he had toward others or not? I ask, for example, brethren, in your families, husbands to wives, wives to husbands, siblings to each other, parents to children, etc. Do you seek, with the help and grace of God, to be tender toward each one? Do you seek to be tender toward each one? That's how we apply it, practically speaking. Further, I ask you, brethren, how about in the workplace with unbelievers? Unbelievers can get under your skin. Bob, why are you smiling? Unbelievers get under your skin. You all know how it goes. Bob has many unbelievers who report to him. And they can get under your skin, but the question is for all of us, how do we act towards unbelievers? If again, as Edward said, this is the distinguishing Christian trait, gentleness, how are we doing in the workplace? Do you seek to be courteous and compassionate toward non-Christians or not? And then thirdly, I ask more specifically, as our passage for today is dictating to us, how about you, brethren, in the church? Let's stick with the context. I ask, dear members of Grace Community Baptist Church, are you someone who is known in this place as being a tender, gentle individual among us, just as the Bible requires of you, or not? Or perhaps you say, Pastor V, how can I know if this is true of me? Well, you can know this by asking yourself three things, three questions. And the first is, am I a teachable person? Am I a teachable person? Ask yourself that question. Am I a teachable person? Why? Because gentle people are teachable. Second, ask yourself, do I take correction well and listen to others? Or am I always defensive? If you're always defensive, you're not gentle, you're not tender, you're full of yourself, you're full of pride. And then third, ask yourself the question, am I friendly? Am I a sweet individual? Even towards those in this place with whom I may differ with some things. Doesn't matter. Well, the Bible doesn't say, be gentle. Only to a few, those you like, those who you think are worthy of your gentleness, no, but be gentle to all men, all people. Or ask yourself, am I just rude? Am I harsh? Am I distant and short with others, etc.? Well, here, church, I think is a good test for us to apply to ourselves in order to see if we're walking in gentleness according to the Word of God and not the ways of the world. Here are some basic questions which I trust should be a help for all of us. But secondly, you and I, as the people of God, cultivate this Holy Spirit fruit of gentleness in our lives by not just remembering Jesus, but now recalling that such a disposition as this is commanded of us from the Word of God, as we've plainly seen. And that gentleness is not a gift of the Spirit, no, but rather it's a fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so first thing, Philippians 4, verse 5. Paul commands us there saying, let your gentleness be known to all men. That's a command. That's an apostolic imperative. It's a hortatory word, which means command. It's a command. So you say, as I said in the beginning, yes, I'm not going to let the world dictate to me how I'm going to act. I'm going to let the Word dictate to me how I'm going to act. Well, Christian, The Word commands you to be gentle, to be a tender individual. Is that your ethic? Is that your standard? I hope it is. This is not an option for you and I. Again, contextually speaking, especially in this place. So that if we just happen to fall short of being gentle to someone, what do? Would you please forgive me? I'm sorry. I wrestle with this. I'm not all that I should be. You know how it goes, but please forgive me. We repent. We ask for forgiveness. That's what Christians do, by the way. Please forgive me. Sorry. That's not what I meant. Forgive me. So it's commanded. Not an option. No, but this is what disciples of Christ do. Again, quoting Edwards. But secondly, then, under this heading, you and I, church, must recall that this disposition of tenderness, gentleness, is not a gift of the Spirit, no, but it's a fruit of the Spirit. And so you say, Pastor, what's the point? What are you trying to distinguish? Well, let me help you and say that while the Bible teaches us that we all have, quote, gifts differing, such as the gift of ministering or teaching or leading, as Paul says in Romans, brethren, this is not so with the fruit of the Spirit. And so what's the point? Here's the point. You can't say today, well, you know what? The Holy Spirit has given me the fruit of love, joy, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, but he hasn't given me the fruit of gentleness. You see, this is how people reason. Well, like with the gifts. Well, you know, God hasn't given us all the same gift. That's true, biblically speaking. Even though Peter does say that to each one was given what? A gift. So we all have a spiritual gift. But it's true that the gifts of the Spirit, we all don't have the same gifts. No. But church, the point is, we all have all of the fruits of the Spirit. Can't say, I got 7 of them, but not all of them. I got the first 3, but not the last ones, no. And somehow try to excuse ourselves and say, well, I just didn't get that fruit. No. Again, as I expounded in 2 sermons, but Paul says the fruit, the result of the Spirit in a person's life is, present tense verb, and will always be, all of these things. Not one without the other. Now, might you excel in some more than others? Of course. Might you have to grow more in some than others? Of course. But they're all there, brothers and sisters. They're all within you by virtue of being born anew by the Holy Ghost. And so don't say, well, no, that's just not for me. I'm not really good at that thing. No, pray God. Oh, God. These are the fruits. These are the attributes that the Holy Spirit works in the being of God's true children. Help me to grow in all of them collectively. Bring it to God, especially you here this day who might be under some conviction and say, oh, I'm just rough, rugged, and raw, and that's how I am by nature. That may be true, but now you have a new nature, which helps you to be a gentle, a tender, a kind, a compassionate individual. And so, brethren, remember, no scapegoating here, no exits. These are the things that must be true for each and every one of us who name the name of the Lord. Well, thirdly and finally, then, you and I cultivate this fruit of the Spirit of gentleness, not only by remembering Jesus and recalling that we are commanded to act this way from the Word of God, but finally now we do it by recollecting the great promise in the Word of God in this regard, as found in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, which tells us that the meek, not the harsh, not the rough, not the tyrannical and unredeemed people of the world, no, but the gentle, the tender, those who have been saved by the free grace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, that they and they alone will inherit the earth, which is to say the renewed, redeemed, and restored earth, when our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ returns and purges this earth of all of its sin. And so you see, beloved, I'm convinced that this wonderful promise of our Lord Jesus Christ is meant to encourage you and I to be this very thing in our lives as his people. This gospel promise is meant to help us to fight against all roughness and rudeness in us toward others, remembering that such dispositions are not pleasing to God, and they certainly are not in line with his word. And so, having said this, church, may it be then that our Lord Jesus will help all of us with these things. Yes, may he strengthen us to be the kind of disciples that he calls us to be from Holy Scripture, which is to say, disciples who, by grace, are just as he is. Let's pray together. Our great and glorious God, we confess that we are not all that we should be as your people. We confess, Lord, that we have willingly or unwillingly, whatever the case might be, we have adopted many of the world's attitudes, dispositions for ourselves. We acknowledge, Lord, that we are not as gentle as we need to be to our spouses, to our children, to our siblings, to our parents, to those with whom we work, to those in the church. And so we ask you for fresh forgiveness and mercy and cleansing and gospel grace to harness those bad things within us and to positively put forth the wonderful grace of gentleness, even as it was displayed in our lovely Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.